The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So here we are sitting together on the last night of our spring sesshin. It's been a very long time since I've given an evening encouragement talk. And this was some harebrained idea that we came up with at the beginning of sesshin. And just a few minutes ago, I said to Mike and David, I have to give a talk in a few minutes. What am I going to talk about? But actually, the talk's been moving through me since the moment we wrote it down on our teacher schedule. And it's shifted and changed, and who knows what will actually end up coming out of my mouth. But what I do want to say before I get into maybe a couple of Dharma points, I guess everything is a Dharma point, isn't it, in the end, is how precious this particular moment is. It has never happened before. It will never happen again. This is the only chance we get to be alive right now. And as much as that might sound like a cliche or a no-brainer, take it to heart. It applies also to the last evening of a sesshin. The mind does funny things with time. And it could be that already you're playing the time game that is very particular to sesshin with yourself. Tomorrow at this time, I will be, whatever your fantasy is. But that is a fantasy. Who knows what will unfold in the many, many, the actual infinity of moments between now and what we call tomorrow at this time. I hope you can hear the absurdity of that phrase. Tomorrow at this time. What? So it's important to value, and that's, I think, what this encouragement talk is going to mostly be about, to value everything that we encounter as the very perfect and exact thing that we need right now. It's not that somebody has been up in the heavens sitting on a cloud combing their fingers through their beard saying, I wonder what you need right now. Let me make it happen for you. I don't think it works that way. I think life unfolds based on an infinity of causes and conditions that almost none of which is under our control. One thing leads to another, to another, to another. And then we get this, sitting in this room right now, noticing what's happening in our own minds and hearts and bodies. The opportunity to be touched by the teachings of our ancestors and the teachings of the floor and the wind and the person close to silently breathing next to us. This being touched by each moment is a little bit what Wan Sang is pointing to in his preamble to the koan we've been investigating when he says, pick up the earth and it turns to gold. The gold is implicit in the earth. The Dharma is implicit in everything. There is nothing that is not a teaching, a gateway. There is nothing that is not the awakened nature manifesting itself as this. And I'm not talking just about cool stuff like the wind and the floor and the light in the sky. I'm talking about the pains in our back and knees. I'm talking about our indigestion. I'm talking about our sleeplessness and restlessness, our anxiety and sadness and anger. I'm talking about all the things that we like to put in a little category and say, well, this is not what I want, so this is not the Dharma, it's not Zen, it's not Buddhism. I want the good stuff. And who wouldn't? Everyone wants the good stuff. The key is to see that everything is the good stuff. And that just doesn't make sense. I was looking at the commentary to the same koan that's in the Blue Cliff Record, a different collection, it's a different number, the same koan about right and wrong. And the introduction to the koan has this beautiful line in it. Let go, and even tiles and pebbles emit light. Hold still, and even real gold loses its color. What an interesting thing. There's that gold again. But this time, instead of the gold glistening forward, instead of the tiles and pebbles emitting light, the gold, the thing that we value, becomes equal to everything else, not special, not different. Tiles and pebbles emit light, gold loses its color. What's going on here? Deers and horses cavorting in the field together, the earth turning itself or demonstrating itself as gold. It made me remember a story that I'd heard from a Tibetan teacher once, and it might actually have been Pema Chodron. Maybe I read it, maybe I heard it, I can't remember, so I don't remember all the details. But I remember the way it touched me at the time. And it's about a student of the Way who lived in Tibet and wanted to go to India to study with some great master who was renowned for knowing the Buddhist teachings inside out and the sutras. And this guy wanted to study with this Indian teacher and translate his wisdom into Tibetan and bring it back with him. And as I recollect the story, he had to sell everything he owned to buy passage to India. And he sold everything he owned, everything. All his clothes except for the clothes on his back, all the even the things that sparked joy in him. he gave everything up. and that's a Marie Kondo reference. He just had the pack on his back and his clothes and his sandals and this dedication, this devotion that he was going to go, and he turned all his belongings into gold, into gold dust. He had it in bags in his backpack so that he could pay this Indian sage in gold. Everything was gone. Everything had been turned into gold, but not in a positive way. He was going to give the gold to this guy in exchange for the teachings. And, you know, it was one of those, it's just kind of a shaggy dog story. I'll make it short. He goes on the long, long journey and meets lots of people and beings and gods and demons and they challenge him everywhere and everything's really hard for him. And finally he gets to the teacher and the teacher says, yeah, it's not enough. Go back. I need more gold. So he's like, what am I going to do? So he goes back, and in the Shaggy Dog version of the story, he goes back two or three times, I think, and you know, he thinks there's nothing left to get rid of, but he finds stuff, and he gets rid of it all. More gold. And finally he comes back to the teacher for the third time, and a lot of stories in the Tibetan tradition, the teachers really give their students a hard time. I guess that's true in Zen too. as some of you know. And so finally, the teacher accepts his gift of the bags and bags and bags of gold dust. And the teacher says, thank you, this is the payment I want. I will now give you the teachings, but I just need to do one more thing first. And he opens all the bags and he throws the gold dust all over the place. And it's blown about by the wind and it's gone, gone, gone. No more gold dust. It just has gone everywhere. And the Tibetan student is horrified. That's all his life just blew away. And he says to the teacher, what have you done? And the teacher says, I have no need for gold. All the world is gold to me. This is the teaching. Can you hear this teaching and that phrase of this teacher? All the world is gold to me. Tiles and pebbles shine, emit light. This is just the way it is. Going to the bathroom and flushing the toilet are equal to taking a bite of delicious food at lunch. Equal. Feeling frustrated and restless and scared. Equal to being filled with joy. Everything is it. There are no exceptions to this. This is what we discover when we take the opportunity to allow ourselves to open to the reality of this world beyond right and wrong, beyond good and bad, where everything, as we say, emits light. Everything shines with its own light, as Yunmen once said, one of the teachers in our tradition. Everything is always demonstrating the Dharma, but we are looking somewhere else. And we have criteria, and we have an idea and a narrative about what's supposed to happen. And this night, this last night, we don't know what's going to happen. Don't skip ahead to what you'll be doing tomorrow at this time, or even later on tonight at this time. Or even now. The challenge of a sesshin is to sink as deeply as possible into our practice with the forms supporting us so that we don't have to make decisions and think about what to do. Sometimes on the last night of a sesshin, people stay up late. It's an old tradition. It goes back, well, as far as I know, at least a few decades, but I'm pretty sure hundreds of years, to stay up to use the energy that we have been cultivating for days now, for hours, for a multitude of minutes of coming back again and again to this upright sitting in the middle of everything. We might not recognize it. We might not know what we've cultivated. That doesn't matter. We cannot know the fruits of our own practice, weirdly. We can only persist. And so I ask you tonight to persist. To persist in wonder and not knowing and one moment after another. As if there were a month of sesshin ahead of you. As if there were a lifetime of sesshin ahead of you. So things are not going to end tomorrow at this time. Things continue to reveal themselves moment after moment. Pick up the earth and it's gold. Tiles and pebbles emit light, and gold, when we really sit still, loses its color. All the world is gold. Realize this for yourself. It's possible. That's the encouragement part. It's real. It's already happened. So all you have to do is realize it. Thank you.